Rise and shine, Atlanta. This is the Morning Shift. Can't even hear. Like my headphones
were struggling.
Really
over
turned
there,
on.
Man.
I don't know.
In.
Headphones weren't working. Well, Dylan normally goes late. We don't normally start like 6:02. We're like a minute early. So, good morning. I'm Bo Morgan. They call me Squidbilly. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. She is the First Lady of Atlanta Baseball, the Queen of Improv, Miss Allie Mack. And over there, Mr. Dylan Dylon Matthews, the knower of all things of Stranger Things.
Conformity gate.
I would say it's a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He missed out downstairs yesterday, I guess.
What
Tigger,
happened?
Big Tigger got like a Stranger Things care pack. And it was yesterday. It was actually yesterday when I went down there to get water. I rummaged through it, but wasn't much left for you. Sorry.
Can I say this? This is the second time something like this has happened downstairs. The first time I saw, and shout out to Kalia. She is a great producer for the Big Tigger Morning Show.
She helped me rummage through it to see if we could salvage anything for you.
It
was all gone.
See, shout out to her. But I saw her on a TikTok a few weeks back. Priya Ferguson, who plays Erica, who is, if you don't see Stranger Things, Lucas Sinclair is his character. Erica on the show is his sister. She was on Big Tigger's show, and she was on Kalia's TikTok and everything, and I missed her. Didn't even know she was here. Mm. And now this. So I'm very upset about it.
Well, and it's going to be a double whammy of a day when we all find out that Conformity Gate is not real and there is no extra episode of Stranger Things today.
Yeah, Conformity Gate's not real, y'all. For all my Conformity Gate believers, I'm sorry. It's not real. As much as I would like it to be real, too, it ain't real. Just wait for the documentary to come out on the 12th, and you can enjoy that.
I don't know, but do you know what Conformity Gate is?
I don't know. I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
It's this TikTok thing that has come up. People are believing that the Stranger Things finale that just came out is not the end, and there's an extra episode being released today.
Oh, that'll be sick.
No, it's not true, though. It's literally people just getting on TikTok and trolling. Like, there's a girl that was like, I can't say if I was filming something a year ago in Georgia, but maybe I was. I can tell you on the 7th.
Yeah, I also heard that they're going to go back and redo the entire last season of Game of Thrones.
I don't know about that, the Conformity Gate thing
means it's not happening.
It would be really cool, though.
They're not doing
that. I don't
that.
Know anything about Stranger Things other than like season one, but it would be, right. What a marketing tool that would be if they just, bow, hit you with another episode.
It would be crazy, but unfortunately, I don't think it's happening. This is mainly just people, like Ali said, trolling.
Yeah.
And also people that are buying into it, they're coping because they probably didn't like the way the show ended.
And the way the finale ended, I love everything the Duffer Brothers did. However, they ain't that smart to put all this together.
Shots fired.
Wow.
Ali off the top rope at 6:04.
I'm just saying. This is not a Taylor Swift Easter egg situation. It's just not.
It'd be like the trailer after the credits, you know? When the credits get done rolling, all of a sudden, like, another video comes up. And you're like, oh, wow, there's more.
Some will call that a post-credit scene.
There you go. I have never heard that phrase, but that makes sense.
There's no way you've never heard the term post-credit scene.
On my grave.
Really?
Never heard anybody say that before.
Wow.
Post-credit scene.
Post-credit scene.
Today I learned.
There you go.
All right, well, here are the headlines. Since we last got to hang out, the Hawks are back in action tonight against the Pelicans. Pre-game is set for 7 on 92.9 The Game. Tip is set for 7:30. John Harbaugh is out as the Baltimore Ravens head coach after missing the playoffs. The Dallas Cowboys have fired their defensive coordinator, Matt Eberflus. The Commanders head coach, Dan Quinn, and offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, met yesterday. Agreed to mutually part ways. The Commanders also fired their defensive coordinator, Joe Witt Jr. The Falcons have reportedly requested to interview Bears assistant GM Ian Cunningham for the GM spot and have sent a request to interview the 49ers executive Josh Williams for the president of football operations. And the Falcons have also restructured their deal with Kirk Cousins, agreeing to modify the final 2 years of his contract. So the restructure also included reducing his 2026 base salary from a non-guaranteed $35 million to just $2.1 million. And there's now a guarantee in the amount of $67.9 million for the 2027 season that vests on March 13th.
Yeah, it's, I mean, if you listen to Joel Corey, who is a former agent, and he's a cap expert. He writes for CBS Sports. He's as good as it gets. He basically says this is nothing more than paperwork that helps expedite this thing to get through and be done. And they'll cut him by the third. They'll cut him with a June 1st release by the third day of the league year. So that doesn't kick in to where it's fully guaranteed. The money is, I believe, post June 1st, which is just what you would designate it as, which means Kirk is free to go about his business, but the money doesn't come off your cap until June 1st would be about $22 million in dead cap for 26. What it does is it frees up money immediately for you to use the way they structured this. This was from what Joel seems to think and from what NFL rules say, this was a deal that was done before Terry Fontenot was fired, before Raheem Morris was fired, before the Saints game took place. I do not believe you can do this deal based on what I've heard from Joel and then you see out there after the Saints game. So this has been done. So it was basically both sides kind of doing each other right, which is nice to see, and it shows what Kirk is about. Mike Garofalo from the NFL, I think Network is where he works, NFL.com, seems to think it could leave the door open, but they would have to essentially extend again and restructure again. I think I originally, when I saw it, was like, well, maybe this buys a new regime time. Doesn't sound like that. Sounds like this is just kind of paperwork, kind of, you know, helping each other out on the way out the door.
I think this is big, and this is big for me based off the conversation we had yesterday. What are we sat in here yesterday and we kind of kicked things around about pros and cons of the job and where its ranking is and, mm-hmm. you know, all the uncertainty. And I realize that this is still a very, you know, big cap hit in the long run, but you're splitting it up. You're making it easier on everybody. My understanding is that if he was still here in mid-March after this deadline, that we would owe him $70 million like immediately next year in that ballpark. So this, to me, just makes this job even more attractive, right, moving towards the future because you don't have that big Kirk Cousins cloud hanging over your head. And, you know, Mike Garofalo can say that this is leaves the door open. I don't believe it does in any way, shape, or form. I think that, like you said, this is a decision that had been made and probably was pressed by the Kirk Cousins side of things to make sure that wherever he went next, he got some sort of offseason with whatever team it was, making him more of an attractive free agent in the process. So, I mean, there's no two ways about it. It's a good thing for the Atlanta Falcons. No matter how you slice it, them kind of freeing up this conversation, them kind of finding a way forward at the quarterback position or at least taking the first step in that direction, it's a big deal. So I think it's something to be excited about. I'm glad that it happened amicably. They both had, you know, strings to pull on either side and things that they wanted. And even, like I said, without the head coach, without the GM, without a president of football ops, whatever else it is, this was able to at least come out and, we're able to talk about it because I think that was a huge cloud for me moving towards next season.
What's going to be the order of operations? I mean, you just mentioned three major roles that are open right now, and then we still have the question around the quarterback situation because we might need someone to kind of patchwork things together at the beginning of next season. So what's the order of operations as far as these hires?
Well, it's the team president. That's the order of operation. There's no – like, of course, you're going to interview these guys and – it's funny because what kills me is people always want – all I heard was moaning and complaining about the way they hired Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot. They all hired Arthur before they hired Terry, and everyone just bickered and moaned. And then as soon as John Harbaugh was fired yesterday, those people that I heard, you know, a lot of them were media members, some fan, whatever, just the noise, the people, got to go hire him right now. You got to call him right now. And it's like, guys, slow down. First off, John Harbaugh might not even want to coach next year. A lot of reports are he wants the New York job. He's already very intrigued by Jackson Dart. But the order should be team president first and foremost, because however this whole thing is going to work, he's going to hire two people to work together. And when people say, well, maybe that person doesn't want to work with that person, Dude, there are 32 GM jobs and there are 32 head coaching jobs. If you get one, you better make it your life mission to want to work with the person next to you. Because you don't get an opportunity to do this very often. So the team president is first.
Yeah, I agree with Bo. I will say that I just for playing devil's advocate here, I do think that there is a scenario where if the guy you wanted was John Harbaugh, and John Harbaugh were to call you and say, hey, I'm headed down to Atlanta, you would probably rearrange the order of events. If that's the guy that you just knew was the home run hire.
Well, I think I personally kind of feel that the team president has already figured out.
Yeah.
And a lot of this is window dressing and clicking certain boxes that the league has makes you click. So that's just my personal feeling. It's the way and I'm not the only one. Hell, all these guys are reporting it the same way.
I was going to say, personal feeling. I was like, I think a lot of people got that personal inkling.
But John Harbaugh is an Andy Reid-esque name as far as what he's accomplished in the league. And actually, he's accomplished more than Andy Reid when he came available. And Andy Reid was let go on December 31st. He was told he wasn't being renewed in January of 2012, right after the season ended. He was hired January 4th of 2013. So that tells you a little bit about how quickly things can work. Sometimes these guys see the writing on the wall. I do believe that John Harbaugh kind of thought if they lost, this is apparently the owner doing it. But yeah, I think if John Harbaugh said that, but the reality is that you want to make that decision once your president's in there.
Who's the other... So, you know, reportedly that a lot of the teams with coaching openings called.
Seven.
But reportedly there were 9 phone calls. Well, so who were the other 2 teams that called that already have a sitting head coach?
I mean, I bet you.
I think Green Bay's got to be one of them.
I don't think Green Bay is one of them because I don't foresee that. I think Tampa Bay was one of them.
Maybe Miami being
Miami
the other 2.
Would be another one, I guess. I wouldn't have thought Tampa Bay. It's a good point.
I think Tampa Bay is one because, Green Bay, to me, Tampa Bay is one where you kind of know the mold of what the kind of the OC you want with the quarterback you have. I feel like there's still a little bit of question marks out on Jordan Love, and Mike LaFleur has kind of been the guy. And also, Mike LaFleur unlocked Malik Willis. Which was he's shown that he can bring in. I think the Matt LaFleur talk is a bunch of ignorant fans just being a little bit having entitlement syndrome in Green Bay. That's to me the Matt LaFleur thing because Matt LaFleur is another winner. He's taking you to 2 or 3 NFC Championship games, and I understand you haven't made it back and you faltered late at the end, but at one. Before everyone was blowing smoke up the Rams, campaign of being the best team in the NFC, it was Green Bay for a stretch there. And then it became the Rams, and then that folded quickly and became Seattle.
I think there's more to it than that, in my opinion, just from simply the fact that I think next year is the last year of his contract. He is making, reportedly, because Green Bay is one of those teams that puts numbers out because they're publicly owned. He's not even making in the top half of the NFL in terms of coaching salary, from my understanding. So I do think that there is a little bit behind the scenes of him probably wanting an extension. I think it's Ed Policy, who is the president up there for the Green Bay Packers, is saying, we're not giving you an extension. And there's some push-pull in terms direction of saying.
That's the Green Bay way, though. They want to push everything with extensions on every side, it seemingly. They just got pushed into a Jordan Love, and I think Matt LaFleur helped get him that money.
I think there's more to it than just fans kind of pushing the narrative. I think there's something behind the scenes of a push-pull. There's too much smoke coming out of that whole situation.
I would find it hard to believe a team in the playoffs is calling a check on another coach, considering you don't even have, they could win 2 or 3 games in the playoffs. What are you going to do? You're going to make John Harbaugh wait till – Like I don't think John Harbaugh would want that situation. either. I'm not saying that they didn't call on that point, but I'm saying if you're a head coach that just basically lost your job after 18 seasons with a Super Bowl title there and because a kicker missed a kick, are you going to want to take a job where a team's in the calling you?
Because I would. That team's readier to win than anybody. They're already in the playoffs.
They've shown their loyalty there, right there. I wouldn't, personally.
Well, coming up, we do have to talk about the candidates for GM and president of football operations because, like Bo and Mike said, I think we already knew who the president was going to be, but there are candidates. So we're going to talk about that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.